Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
So for me, it's two things. Definitely, I would love if you read the book and took away some of the terms that we talk about and understanding how Afro hair can be big one day, it can be in a protective style another day, that we do diverse things with it and it's still my hair. But also, I want you to really take an opportunity to immerse yourself in our culture because we've been immersed in yours and we know how things work in white society. And I'm tired of this fascination with my hair, this misunderstanding, this lack of understanding, because like why like for adults, go learn, go figure it out, go YouTube, it's all there. Okay, you shouldn't be asking me the question.
The voices, stories, and accomplishments of Black Canadians. This podcast is about learning and growing. So let's get into it, shall we? Michelle, and as always, before we get into today's episode, I'm going to need you to do me a favor, especially if you're listening and you've been enjoying the season so far. I'm going to need you to rate and review the podcast. And so how you do that, you can do that by listening to the episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. If you go on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, there is the option to leave a rating. So, you know, your girl's been putting in work, so a 5-star would be nice. And then, you know, you could leave ratings as well. Don't forget that any episode that you listen to, definitely share it. You know, share with your friends on WhatsApp, on Instagram, whatever. Definitely take a look at that. We are winding down. We are halfway through the end of the season. We've got, as of this episode, it will be 5 episodes left until the end of the season. And so I am definitely open up to suggestions. I'd love to hear from you. First of all, your thoughts, as well as what topics you would like to see covered for season 6. So you can definitely email us. I'll leave our email information as well in the show notes. Or if you have social media, hey, come join us along here on our Instagram page. Come say hi, hello, and also let us know as to what you want to see in future episodes, such as for the next upcoming season, season 6. And if you're not following us on our socials, then what are you doing? You need to be following us on our socials. So whether that's Facebook, that's Instagram, we're on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, definitely follow us, because you never know. You might need to stay tuned for a future episode that is coming up, because a future contest, sorry, that is coming up. Because at the end of the season, I will be announcing a contest. And if you want to win some goodies, definitely you're going to need to follow on Instagram. And Facebook is where I'm going to have two separate contests for Facebook listeners or fans, followers, as well as for Instagram. So if you're not following already, you know what to do. Follow us on all of our socials. I will leave all that information in the show notes as well. Now, I do know with podcasts, you know, things are kind of evolving, and essentially people are moving a little bit away from the audio to more of a video. And so if you have us on our Instagram page, or you follow us rather, you will notice that I drop some visual content out there as well. So you'll see a snippet of a quick clip of a discussion that we've had on our previous episodes that we've dropped so far. I will be dropping the full video on YouTube once the season is done. So our season is going to end in June. So we're looking about July when I'm going to be pushing out all of the episodes that you've listened. Now you could kind of, you know, visually see whether, you know, who our guests are and all of that sort of stuff. So I definitely encourage you to follow us on our YouTube page. We will also pick back up as well on TikTok. I know I've kind of gone on a little bit of a hiatus on TikTok, but all of my visual stuff will be pushed out between July and August. I'm not too sure if I will just do it weekly or just throw them all on there for you guys to see. But at least at that point, you'll get to see what guests we had on the show, get to kind of like, you know, put a face to the voice as well as put a face to my voice, which, speaking of my face, I'm sure you've seen that we've updated our cover work. So, you know, leave us a review on what you thought about this season in terms of the intro music, the podcast cover, all of it. And what did you think of our guests? Every feedback that we have counts. It helps me to know what you, again, like, you guys are interested in, or if I should have them come back and, you know, we continue conversations. So as always, you know what to do. Follow us on our socials, and like I said, reach out to us as reach out to me and let me know what you would like to see for future episodes, or who you'd like to see come back for future episodes. So recently we had the eclipse. As I'm recording this little monologue intro, it is April 9th, and so we had the solar eclipse yesterday, which was April 8th. Now, unfortunately, I didn't get to see anything because it was cloudy, and it's so crazy because right now, as the 9th of April, it is blue skies outside. It's like, really? Couldn't wait till today for the solar eclipse? Anyways, I didn't get to see anything. Like I said, we had a heavy forecast, so there was a lot of cloud. And so we couldn't see anything, but we did experience it go from day to night. So it went from super bright, or bright enough for a cloudy day, to super dark, to the point where the street lights went on. And it was definitely an experience to have seen that. I've never watched a solar eclipse. It's too bad that we didn't get to actually see like the moon obscure the sun. Who knows, maybe somehow, some way, I will be able to see an eclipse. Maybe not in this neck of the woods, but maybe somewhere else. On a brighter note, it is starting to warm up. I'm enjoying that. We are finally saying goodbye to winter junior or winter senior at this point, because here in Canada, we'll get fall, spring, and then winter senior comes back, and then spring actually comes. So we are finally enjoying some warmer weather. And with that, you know what that means? There are more festivities and concerts that are coming up. I know for one, like Janet Jackson's coming down. And recently, one of my favorite rappers announced a tour. And I'm super stoked because I love her and the two other individuals that are coming with her. So if you don't know, if you live under a rock, Missy Elliott has announced a tour. Super excited because when was the last time Missy went on tour? As you can tell, I'm a huge Missy Elliott fan. Like, I know even her old stuff, like Sock It To You, all of them, and all of her recent stuff as well. So I am super stoked. And I'm actually kind of excited that they're coming to Canada, in which the three stops are Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver. So hopefully, you know, the money's looking good for me. I will definitely buy myself or get a ticket and go because I would just die. I would love to see Missy. But I'm super excited because it's going to be Missy, Busta Rhymes, another rapper that I just love, and Sierra. So definitely looking forward to that tour. And I really do hope that, you know, tickets are looking nice so that I could go because, oh my goodness, there's been nothing but pure tours happening this year. I get it. These artists need to make their money. And, you know, we were inside for a long time because of COVID. So you know what it is. They're making it up. They're grabbing the coins. So I'm not mad at these artists for, you know, putting on these tours. And you know what? It's time for us to be outside. And speaking of which, that reminds me, we're going to get into this month's artist and song of the month. So if you're new here, basically what I do is once a month, I choose a Canadian artist and I choose one of their songs that I think that my listeners will like. And I just call it the artist and song of the month. So in today's artist and song of the month, I was doing, or this month rather, I was doing a little bit of research and I was trying to find, you know, I've had a lot of women on here, a lot of from the beginning of the season, a lot of women artists, and I'm like, you know what, I need to get some of the men around here, because if not, this whole season is going to be all ladies. I did stumble upon somebody here by the name of Raheem, I did do a little bit of digging on him, and just to kind of like know what his story is. I do want to say this because I have this terrible tendency to mispronounce names. So I do apologize if I get it wrong, because I remember like last month I said Havia Mighty and it was Havia Mighty. So you see, like, I'm really bad at names and pronouncing them. So I apologize in advance. Now I'm reading it as Raheem, but if it's Rahim, then I apologize. So I did a little bit of digging to know who Raheem is. And based off of the search that I found a small little article on Genius. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware of Genius. Genius is a lyric website. So you could type in a name of an artist, find their song in particular, and it will provide you the lyrics. And in some cases, it will even give you information of each line of the lyrics. So some like in-depth analysis on the lyric. Now, not all lyrics are analyzed, only some of them are, but I did find this on Genius, and I will link it into the show notes as well. Now, Raheem is a 19-year-old at the time of this article. It says 19, so you might want to do the math. I think this was done in 2016 and we're 2024. But based off of that, he's a 19-year-old singer from Brampton. So another one from Brampton, Canada. He's from Brampton, Canada, just outside of Toronto. He sang backup vocals in the album of September 5th by DVS. I keep saying DVSN. It should be Division. I don't know why I do that. But yes, he was a backup vocalist on the album September 5th by Division. And he released his first project in 2017 titled Fear of the Unknown. So I heard the song and I thought, oh my gosh, this is pretty, for one, the album is really good. Now, his album was released last year, so in 2023, but regardless, song still fire, album is still fire. So without further ado, let's get into the artisan song of the month of April, which is Raheem with his song Love Suicide.
to say where we both stand with this. We both can't commit. Yes, I fucked your friend, but you should call me. How am I the one who's always lonely? Please don't turn your back and try to front on me. Try to stun on me. Cause you know that I know that he knows that you two just ain't real. Fuck all your friends talking this shit and that shit like they don't deal. Never need a saving, but it'll never work if you keep trying to change me. She wanna change me. I know way too many girls and they all wanna be young forever.
I really enjoyed that song. I had that song on replay, repeat, whatever you want to call it. I think was my number one favorite song on the album. Like I said, I was overplaying it a little too much. Now, if you do enjoy the Artist and Song of the Month, we do have a playlist in which I post all the songs on there. So if for whatever reason you're at the end of the episode or you're in the midway part of the episode, you're like, you know what? I really like that song. I want to hear it in full depth. We have a Spotify playlist called The Mix. And so what I'll do is that anytime while you're listening to this podcast, you could click on the link in the show notes and it'll bring you up to The Mix and you'll see all the songs that we've had, and you can go through the list. We had artists on there such as Jessie Wu. Yeah, your girl Jessie Wu is from Canada. We've had Zen Soul, we've had Akila, we've had so many Canadian artists on there. So for whatever reason, if you can't remember it, chances are it's going to be on the Mix playlist on Spotify. So definitely go and check it out there. And then when we break for the summer, I will continue to add songs onto the playlist, even though we will not be having new episodes as of July and August. I will make sure that I will put some songs wherever I find it and hear it, you know, to give you your daily dose of Canadian talent. So let's get into today's episode. So today's episode was actually quite an interesting way of it all coming together. I did want to have the conversation about hair and beauty. And so this month we are going to be focusing on those two aspects. And so I've always wanted to have the conversation about black hair because it is so complex, beautiful, but oh so complex. And it's just about divine timing, because even though it was an idea that was planted in my head, I really didn't know how I was going to have this conversation. Was this going to be a panelist discussion? Was this going to be a me and one other individual discussion? I really didn't know how I was going to go about it. And then an author reached out to me to have a conversation about it, as well as discuss about her book. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of A Shot of Melanin. Now, today's episode, I've got the wonderful Venice here on the podcast, and I'm going to give Venice a chance to kind of introduce herself before I get into today's topic. So, Venice, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, who you are?
Hi. Well, thank you for having me, first of all. So, yes, my name is Venice, and I just authored and illustrated my first children's book. It's called Naya Hatton, Let's Get Those Coils Crowned in Satin. So it's a story about hair empowerment, particularly girls with coily hair. And it talks about hair care as a way to really self-educate and talk about how we need to take care of our hair so that we have thriving hair, but also build that hair confidence, particularly those of us who have tighter textures and afro hair.
Awesome. So basically, today's topic, we're going to be going into Venice's book, but I wanted to have this conversation about natural hair because this is definitely a conversation that a lot of us have spoken about. We've seen documentaries from Chris Rock's Good Hair. recently, one of our own Canadian, I can't remember her, Andrea Lewis, actually, did a documentary itself as well. It covered the beauty aspect, but within beauty, it also covered hair and more specifically black hair. So I wanted to have that conversation centered around natural hair, and we will get into Venice's book. Listeners, stay tuned for the good stuff. Okay, so we're going to get into our first question, which is centered around hair. Now, at what age did you first become aware that your hair texture was different from others around you?
So I think in elementary school, I was always a little bit aware. You know, I went to a predominantly white school and people's hair didn't look like mine. I was still wearing, you know, braids or twists with my little bubbles. And I remember really wanting to perm my hair and asking my mom for quite some time. And finally, she gave in around age 10 or 11. And I just remember when the day after perming my hair and coming to school, the reaction that I got, I could tell that there was something wrong with how I presented myself up until till that day. Because it was just like, oh, like your hair is so much better. Or like you have like long hair. Or like the comments were just, they were weird. And I knew then like I was that other person. And not only that, there was a one girl who I remembered she wore braids throughout almost elementary school. I never wear braids. I just had my mom like twist my natural hair and they always teased her. And now thinking back, like she was teased a lot for having braids. And it's just crazy how like I was so traumatizing. Like I'm like, I'm never wearing braids. Like yeah.
So funny because I have almost this almost a similar situation with me. I also permed my hair around the same age as you, 10, 11, 12, somewhere around there. And I remember the feeling I had once my hair was straightened and the reaction that I got from people as well. It was like, it was almost like exactly what you said, like you like this version of you better.
Exactly.
Which is so unfortunate because that is not the true you. You are kinks and coils.
Exactly. And that impacts you in so many ways. Subconsciously, at first, you don't recognize it until later on.
So tell us a story that you could recall as a child. What it was like for you getting your hair done, either by your mom or at the salon. Because we see a lot of like Instagram or YouTube videos of mothers doing their kids' hair. For some of them, there's tears. For some of them, it's fine. So talk about what it was like going to get your hair done. And how did you feel once it was done? And I mean, like both with your natural hair and then with the permed hair as well.
So certainly as a child, I did not look forward to getting my hair done at all. I mean, love my mom, but I remember her just like hitting me in the scalp with the comb, like, just be quiet, let me finish it. And I dreaded doing my hair. So she would almost like let us stretch out our hair for like a good month or so. If it wasn't for my dad, like, you need to comb the pitney down here. My hair wasn't being combed. I'd be running amok with like the worst hairstyles because like I hated getting my hair done. And part of it was like I wasn't involved in the process. Like I think growing up, back then, like you didn't involve children in the process, like learning to understand their hair. So then fast forward, when I did perm it, I was going to this hair salon more often and getting it styled, but I didn't know how to take care of my hair because I wasn't involved in it. And so my hair easily broke because I wasn't doing deep conditioner and all the things that I know today. So it's that process of like not having a relationship with my hair back then that like I really had to understand how that works.
And so do you encourage now parents to get their kids involved in the hair care, to understand the hair?
100%. So I think it's so important that if we're teaching our kids or little ones to really love their hair, they have to understand how it works and take care of it. So that's really what my book is about. It's about Naya going through her wash day with her mom. And in the book, she's so upset. She's dreading the whole process. And then she learns how to take care of it. She learns how her hair works and eventually she's empowered by having this knowledge, but also loving that her natural kinks on her hair. And I love when I see on social media now, like even fathers taking an active role in washing their child's hair. They have this like thing where they can put them on the sink now, these inflatable things. So it's not like your head's hung over in the shower. All these things that are coming out, making it easier. They're putting on the iPad with them. They're making it an experience that makes it lovable, because if the whole thing is something that you don't dread like I did, I mean, it's just part of the process of loving our hair.
I agree. I am the ripe age of 35. And there was this one time recently, actually, my mom was like, come, let me comb your hair. I was like, no. So I know what that feeling is like, that dread of yep. Do you find that was a little bit better when you got your hair done professionally compared to with your parent?
Absolutely. So yeah, going to the salon made a big difference. I was a little more excited, and just having ownership of my hair and not having my mom touch it anymore. No, it was, the experience grew better.
Okay. Definitely. And so what inspired or motivated you to transition to embracing your natural hair texture?
I really love that question. So I, in my mid to late 20s, I was braiding a lot, to the point where I basically learned to braid my own hair. So I was just braiding back to back. Like, I wasn't even taking breaks, braid it, wash it, braid it back. And then after a point, I'm like, I have a lot of new growth. And I was not like aware of the natural hair movement. Like, I saw friends, people, I wasn't aware. I was still perming, doing weaves, all the things, but mostly braiding at this one particular point. I think it was like for a year and a half straight. And so I looked at my hair and I'm like, do I perm it again? Or do I just like keep going with my hair? And so then I just fell into the world of YouTube. I mean, I just got obsessed. I didn't know what was going on with my hair, what this new girl had to take care of it. But someone must have mentioned it to me. I must have been asking friends to do, I don't know. Somehow I got onto this natural hair thing through YouTube. And from there, I just said, you know what? I'm not perming it again. And so I feel like I fell into it accidentally. And from there, I was just like trying to backtrack, like, what? Natural hair is a thing? And like, I was obsessed. I really was. Like, even at work, I'm like going on YouTube, like, oh, I was bad. I was obsessed.
Do you remember any natural hair gurus that you followed on YouTube that maybe our listeners can maybe tap into?
Yes. So I love Kimberly Sherrell. She doesn't have the same texture as me, but like, I just loved watching her wash and go videos, and she's just a whole vibe. She dances. She's cute. She's fun. Natural Rain. She has like my dream hair, like just huge, 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 huge. Loved her. Curly Chris was another one. There are a few of them. Oh, Chic Natural. Do you know Chic Natural? Something like that.
I think that name sounds
She was
familiar.
One of the first ones. She had, yeah, she did a lot of different styles with the hair, but she first showed me how like to stretch my hair, like how to wash it and do it in sections and different things. So I'm like, oh wow, like it won't get all knotted, if like just different processes how to do it so that it made it easier for me.
Oh, nice. I do think that YouTube, now we're lucky enough to have YouTube as a place that we can go to, not only for like how to care for hair, but even natural hair ideas, like hairstyle ideas.
Exactly.
So I know exactly what you mean. Now, were there any societal or cultural influences that shaped your perception of natural hair prior to embracing it?
Oh, so being honest here, like I remember throughout high school a little bit in my early 20s, I would see friends or their family members go natural. And I'm like, is she going through something? Like, I didn't understand why she chose. Yeah, like I was so confused. I'm like, why is she wearing her hair in an afro? So I would say like the beauty standards really impacted me and how I thought of how my hair should be worn. Like, before 26, I would, like, you would never catch me without some sort of straight hair. Like, I was like, what? Like, why would you want to wear your hair like that? People are going to look at you. Like, I say it openly now, but like, I'm embarrassed that I thought that way. Like, it's just so sad how it really impacted me.
I don't think you're the only one. I think, as Black women, we do go through this journey of, it's a sad journey, but it's a journey of like, I don't love it, to get into this point of love and acceptance and really embracing our natural hair, just so that you don't feel alone. I was also there too. I permed my hair at 12 and I never wanted to deal with natural hair. I just remember my hair was really thick. So that was mainly my reason for going natural. I was tired of the tugging and the pulling of the hair. And yeah. Also, our parents didn't have the necessary tools to deal with our hair, like how we have, for example, you'd put in a detangling condition to help detangle it so you're not pulling the hair and getting a headache in between. But exactly. I remember specifically there was a girl at school, and I was in university at that point, and she was doing a study or a case study on natural hair. And the questions that I had to answer, it was really like, you know, I know this is a terrible way to think about natural hair, but this is how I think about my hair. And I knew at that moment that definitely society, I mean, I was very heavily influenced by the culture. And at that time, mm-hmm. it was weaves, long hair,
yep.
all that look.
Exactly.
Look what your girl's wearing right now. No,
yep.
no.
I'm still wearing a weave right now. Yeah. Yep.
And even for this episode, I toyed with, like, should I put a fro on to talk about hair? And I just didn't know how. I go for what's safe and so on. So I knew that it had an impact on me as well. I knew that it was a bad way to look at hair. I'm glad I'm at the spot now where, you know, I have a daughter, and my daughter has beautiful long hair. Her hair is longer than my, well, I don't got no hair, so her hair is long. And so, you know, I tell her all the time when I do her hair, you're so lucky. My hair is not even close to that. And it doesn't even resemble that. And it looks, so just, you know, giving her the confidence so that hopefully she doesn't go through the same normal process. I want to call this like a generational curse, because it seems like a lot of women have that mindset. They go through that. I hate it.
100.
I like it. So I'm hoping that by me doing that as a parent, that's breaking a generational curse, and she can fully embrace it from beginning to end and continue it on.
Yes. Yes, Michelle. I love that.
So now, how did your perception of your own hair evolve over time? Especially during the formative years. So how did we start off? Where were we in the middle, and how did we get here?
So I was really excited, but also had a lot of anxiety. So as I started to transition, I was still wearing braids, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, I'm going to transition until my hair is like really long. Like, I'm not going to show it until it's long. So again, still in that mindset that I wanted long, natural hair. And then after about a year, I'm like, let's just get rid of the ends and we're going to do this. So it was.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
It wasn't a big chop because I did have some, at least about a year and a half of growth, but it was definitely the shortest I'd ever wore my hair. But the community response really made the difference of me. Like, I went out to an event or something, I don't know, I was with my friends, and like, this is, remember, the first time I'm being out like this, first time they're seeing me with my hair like this, and the feedback was so validating. And it's not like I need that validation, but like, I can't put in words how much it meant that they complimented me, because this was like, this was, gave me anxiety. Like, I'd never presented myself in this way, and it just meant so much that they were like, oh my gosh, your hair looks so good. It just meant so much. Even like, I've heard people who their parents didn't respond well. My mom was down for the cause. Like, I had no negative experiences, so it helped me to keep going. And yeah, it was really reassuring.
Good. Did you have any challenges or obstacles that you faced during this journey?
So, and even still today, how I show up at work is the conflict for me. Like, I don't know, you can just see it in their faces. Like, oh, your hair is different. Like, I can't, like, if I want to wear it in twists, I feel weird. Like, I feel like I have to have it slicked down. And so that's part of my challenge, is like realizing that my hair doesn't naturally slick down like other hair types. And that's okay. Like, it might frizz up here, and that's okay. And it doesn't mean I have to slick it down. I'm going to go to work just the way it is. My ponytail might not be, you know, tight, because that's, it hurts my head. And so things like that, definitely still, it's still a journey for me. Like, it's not perfect. And that's why, like, telling this book is really about encouraging others, like, listen, we're not the only one. This is still something that's impacting us. Societal standards impact the way we see our beauty, our confidence within ourselves, and we have to change this. So that's really what it is for me.
100%. Now, even in your journey going natural, did you find that there were some sort of frustration with your hair? And did you ever feel like, that's it, I'm done, I'm going back?
I have fine coily hair, so it easily detangles. I still haven't figured out even this detangling process. And like, I just want it to be like just moisturized and soft. And it never really feels perfectly moisturized and soft. Like, I could be putting the most moisturizing products and I feel like my hair still feels dry. And it's just like, I have coarse hair. It's just what it is. So I'm still figuring that out. But I feel like there's still a lot of things I'm figuring out. Like, I love protective styles because I don't have to think about my hair. I'm a very low maintenance person, really. Going to the gym, I don't like having to think about combing my hair and then going to the gym and sweating it out. So I love protective styles, but I also want to show up more with my hair. So there's this challenge for me, and then it's like, well, why do I think my hair is difficult? Because it's not. It's just I need to change my habits so that they become easy for me. So I'm still trying to understand and stop overthinking it and making it make sense for me. And then there's other things, like, I haven't, like, there's influencers that I followed. Oh, there's this one called Glove Natural. She's in the UK. And we, like, had the same big chop time, all the, like, and this girl's hair is, like, down here. And I'm like, where's my hair? So all these things are still influencing me. And I battle them. But I don't think the journey has been bad. I think it gets better every time. I'm still learning. And I think as I learn that there's people who know my hair. So that's the other thing, like, I found it hard when I first started to find stylists who knew my hair. Like, some of the older aunties and stuff in the salon, they just knew how to braid your hair, put a roller set. And they're coming in my coarse hair with fine combs. And I'm like, no, we don't do that in my hair. No, like, no, I have to treat my hair like a baby. Like, that's how I feel. So it's just so much, like, learning and trusting stylists with my hair and then all the things.
I get you. I totally understand you. Now, how do you see how important, for example, in the States, they are trying to adopt something called the Crown Act, which is about embracing natural hair, because there's always something in the news about, I think recently a kid was suspended from a school because he was wearing dreads, and that, according to the school's rules, are not a part of the rules. Like, your hair has to be nicely coiffed. And we know that there is an issue in that definition because not everybody's hair is different. So what advice do you give to organizations, businesses? What would you say, us being coily, kinky, natural hair, what would you say to them for people like us who, you know, if we straighten up our hair, we could burn it off and end up bald? So
my, like, wake up. Beauty standards were set by Eurocentric standards of beauty that don't apply to everyone. And it's really based on this closeness to whiteness. So even when we talk about textured hair, usually we're used to curly, loose curly hair. I don't have hair like that. It's not easily soft. It doesn't just mold. And you know, I loved when I heard the Crown Act came out. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, you know, what can be done for Canada to really bring this recognition? And I just think schools need to really, and everyone, like, you need to, even outside the Black community, even within the Black community, need to wake up to, like, hair manifests in different ways. And through this book, I've had the opportunity to talk to kids at schools, and it's been so nice because I'm actually telling them we need to be comfortable with words and how we speak about Black hair. So I go in the schools and I say Afro hair, and they say Afro hair, say coily hair, say kinky hair. Like, get used to the terms so that it becomes your norm and everyone's norm. So that there isn't this fascination when I come out with an Afro, like, can I touch it? No, like, this is normal. Okay. You need to wake up. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's not unkept. It's not unprofessional. It's actually beautiful. And that's, so when I say like the vision for my brand, it's more than a book. It's really to redefine how the world views Afro-textured hair. It's broad, but like I want people to stop thinking of it as negative.
I think that's a great one to have. We have to change the world's mindset. You're right. It is definitely along the Eurocentric mindset. Listen, I'm fighting with it myself. Hello?
Right?
So I'm aware of it, and I do understand that it needs to change too. Like you said, companies need to get with the program. Like, just because Caucasians or people of, I don't know, other ethnicity may have pin straight bone hair does not mean that is the case for everybody, you know, and we can still look good with our hair. Our hair is so diverse. I've seen so many ways we could do our hair.
I'm telling you, it's actually magical. It's that simple.
It is. Really, so simple. I don't know if there's anything in works like that in terms of the Crown Act here. I'm not too versed on if there's any kind of issues people are having with their child's hair in school or their hair in the business. But, you know, we've heard these stories all too many times. For example, women in the business world would say, I would always straighten my hair because I wanted to get the promotion. I wanted to. But at the same time, although I'm doing this, my hair is breaking. So it's almost like you are selling a version of yourself that is slowly dying. It's not the true you.
You said it there. That touched my soul. Like that, it's so sad. And another thing on the kids in school, like subconscious bias is huge, particularly teachers. So a teacher might say, you know, they accept all children, but they might be looking at your child differently because they show up to school with braids or something because they don't understand that that's okay, that hairstyle is okay, or because they came with an afro, or because mom wasn't able to comb her daughter's hair this weekend, so it's a little bit messier. You know, like, no, that's, you know, our hair doesn't go come flat like that. So you have to recognize, and we have to really help teachers understand, like, there's nothing wrong with the person underneath that hair.
So well said. So without further ado, let's get into topic number two. So we're going to be talking about your book. So, I'm going to let you kind of take it away and introduce the full name of the book, as well as telling the listeners what it's about from beginning to end.
All right. So again, it's called Naya Hatton. Let's get those coils crowned in satin. So it's meant to be this heartwarming rhyming story of a young girl's journey to embracing her coily hair. There's so much intention with it. I really wanted it to be about hair care as well as hair empowerment. So that's why the use of satin is in there. And it's just meant to be a fun and educational but empowering book that really teaches self-acceptance. So it focuses on the hair empowerment to break down some of those negative concepts we have about our hair. Even just talking about shrinkage, I talk about that in the book, because I also want people who maybe have different hair types than their children, it might be a mixed race family, that maybe they don't understand these concepts or understand how their child's hair manifests. So I really wanted people to just like find this fun and light, but also educational. So the book also includes a glossary of terms, of hair terms, because I want us to like understand that these things are not just in the Black community. Like other people should be familiar with these terms. Like if I'm talking to my coworker and I say protective style, it shouldn't be new to you because I understand the terms that you refer to with your hair. And I was kind of at the point where I'm just tired of explaining things so, like wash day and all these other things. And I'm just like, we need to have this somewhere. We need to catalog this. So I just wanted the book to be this place for learning, but in a fun way. And then a fun fact is I actually wrote and illustrated it myself. So I love art. I love being creative. And I really wanted ownership of this book, not only the message, but the illustrations. So the illustrations were done by me. And yeah, it was just a whole fun process.
Nice. Congrats on that. Yeah. Writing and drawing. Good job. Now, where did the idea come from? So we're home, we're out with friends. We said, you know what? I'm going to write a book. Where did that idea come from? How? How did we get here?
That's a good question. So shout out to people who understand your passions and see or encourage you to just pursue something that would, you know, encompass everything that you like to do already. So my sister knows I was on this journey with this natural hair thing. I was so obsessed. I actually braid hair on the side too. So she knew that I was just encompassed in all this the hair thing. And then she knows that I love art. Like I was always doing these DIYs and different things. So she's like, you should just write a children's book. And I'm like, I should. And it actually, that day, it was New Year's Day, I think 2021. It was 1 year after the passing of my nephew. So we're just kind of sitting there kind of like, you know, memorializing him. And I'm like, what if this is like a positive way of turning this day into something where we can celebrate him? So the book is really just like a way to remember my nephew, but also just put together all the things that like I enjoy. And I did, yeah, it wouldn't have, like my sister really gave me the idea. It wouldn't have come to me. So shout out to her.
Now, what was your journey and process in writing this book? Like, walk me down how you birthed it, the main characters, the synopsis, all of it.
Ooh, I love this. So I wanted it to rhyme because I wanted it to be just cute and fun. And I knew I wanted to talk about satin because I was just getting frustrated with like my friends wearing these terrible hair ties in their hair. So I wanted the book to focus on the word satin. So that's where Hatton came from. I came up with satin and her name was Hatton, her last name. So that was really just like, we're just rhyming here. And then I'm like, I need something with Hatton to be short and sweet. So Naya Hatton, it just fit. And so I said, let's get those coils crowned in satin. So the coils being, we're focusing on the word coils. I want this not to be about curls, but coily hair, crowning them. It's like protect them, love them, but also take care of them. So there was just a lot of intention in the title. And it's kind of long, but like it's empowering for me. So, and then I just started to write the story. So I started writing it as a poem. And then my sister said, like, you need it to build up to something. Like, make it build up to something that in the end. So then it was like her getting ready for her birthday. So she's getting her hair done for her birthday. And that's how it evolved. Yeah.
That's nice. Now, what takeaways do you want young melanated boys and girls to take away from this book?
Listen, if you have fluffy, kinky, coily, whatever your hair texture is, embrace it. The world that we live in is a tough place. And they're going to tell us what beauty looks like, and it might not look like what naturally comes to you. And whether that's your physique, your body, anything, not more than hair, I want you to love what really you have earned naturally, what was your God-given beautiful self. And don't listen to how the world defines our beauty.
And what takeaways do you want adults and children who are not of the community? So they are Caucasian, they're whatever culture they are. What story or how important is it for them to read this book? And what should they take away from that as well?
So for me, it's two things. Definitely, I would love if you read the book and took away some of the terms that we talk about and understanding how Afro hair can be big one day, it can be in a protective style another day, that we do diverse things with it and it's still my hair. But also I want you to really take an opportunity to immerse yourself in our culture because we've been immersed in yours and we know how things work in white society. And I'm tired of this fascination with my hair, this misunderstanding, this lack of understanding, because like why? So instead of maybe, I mean, when I go out to schools, I tell the kids, ask me questions, sure, but be respectful. But like for adults, go learn. Go figure it out. Go YouTube. It's all there. Okay? You shouldn't be asking me the question.
So that reminds me, because as you're saying this, and the reason why I'm going to break this up to you. So the main premise of A Shot of Melanin is to amplify the stories of Black Canadians. Now, these could be stories. This could be ways of educating people. And you would be surprised to know that a lot of my demographics are actually people outside of the culture. And so that's why I asked. Yeah, that's why I asked that question. So a lot of my listeners are outside of the culture. They are not Black. They are whatever they are.
That.
And so that's why I asked the question. So I know you don't want to be asked. I know the answer to it. But what is one term you would like for them to know and have it stick to their brain?
Ooh.
Like, you need to know this. You cannot ask anybody questions about it. Remember this. Write it down.
So I think for them, like when I talk about kinky hair, and like I remember saying it one time at work, and they were like you could see their eyes, like, what? Not that kinky, okay? We use kinky hair to describe our hair. My hair is springy. It bounces back. It's kinky. So get to know it. Get familiar.
Okay, so kinky is the word we want y'all to remember.
Kinky is the word.
And it's not what y'all think. Get your mind out the gutter. Okay.
Exactly.
Good. I like that one. Now, why is hair empowerment and hair diversity so important? Why do you think it's so important and why it needs to be out there for everybody to be aware of and learn from?
So it's 2024 and things are improving, but texturism still exists. When we look at how people value hair beauty, it's so based on that closeness to whiteness. And even I'm still dealing with that as someone who's gone through all this relearning and still dealing with that. So I want us to really understand that, like, Afro hair is beautiful. It's okay. We do not have to have the slickest ponytail. We definitely don't. And then not only that, there are intersections between texturism. For example, with colorism, we seem to think that lighter skin people can't have Afro coily kinky hair. So that's why I was very intentional with making Naya very light. And I even got feedback from someone that said she looks white. And I'm like, the whiter the better, because light-skinned people have Afro-textured hair. It's not only dark-skinned people. So I want us to realize that, like, colorism, texturism, they're still impacting how we look and view society and look at beauty norms. And that means they're impacting our confidence. It means it's impacting how we show up at work, how our kids go through the school system, and all these things. And so we need to reflect and really analyze what we're saying when we say these things.
I agree. And don't look at somebody's hair and let that define them, right? What's that song? I am not my hair. I don't even know the rest of the song, okay? So I'm just leaving there. But we should not be able to have people be defined by their hair. It should not be a way of prohibiting people from growth because of hair. We should not stereotype people, because I'm telling you, especially black boys and braids, stereotype
exactly.
For their hair. So this is a perfect conversation to have, because this is what I've actually been wanting to have, this conversation. So when you reached out to me, this was like a no-brainer. It was perfect.
Right.
And at the same time, we could talk about your book. Speaking of your book, is the main character in the book a carbon copy of you? Or did you create this character? Or is it like a slight carbon copy of you?
She's definitely a slight carbon copy of me. And I think she resonates with women and even boys across the board who've had to learn to adjust and accept themselves. And certainly I made her a lighter tone because I'm a lighter tone. I'm not as light as her. And certainly her story is just me embracing my hair and having to learn about shrinkage. For example, I talk about shrinkage in the book. And just learning to just love on my hair. So yeah, like it resonates with me. But I wanted it to really just sort of encompass what I hear from other people too. As a braider on the side, I hear things from parents, from kids in the chair, and I'm just like, yeah, it kind of rolled it all up into Naya.
And so what was your favorite part in the book?
That's a good question. I said the shrinkage just a second ago, but I think it's when her mom's done washing her hair and she's looking in the mirror a little bit confused because her afro has shrunken up. And she says to her mom, you know, I have so much hair, but it shrinks. And her mom says, yeah, that's how coils are. And so it's realizing that our hair, as textured curly people, it can shrink up to like more than half of its length. And so we never really know how long it is until we straighten it. So for people outside of our culture who think like, oh, I straighten my hair, it's not my hair. No, my hair can grow. It can grow and I can have long hair too. And then the next day it can be a lot shorter. So just that awareness again. And so I wanted to bring that to the forefront, and I love that I was able to do that. So that's probably my favorite part of the book.
Yes, because shrinkage is real. When my hair is in water, it's nice and long and wet, and then air dries it, or a hair dryer dry, whatever, and it's
exactly.
I think of it like a sponge. It soaks up all of the great stuff, I guess you could say. Water is very good for you. This is me rationalizing. I could be completely wrong.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. The moisture, it's moisturized. The shrinkage is a sign of health. So, yeah.
Oh, there we go. Sign of health. So shrink away my hair. Let's go.
Exactly.
Now, you recently had a book launch. What did you do? How did you come up with the idea? What did you want people to leave with at the end of the day of the book launch? How was that overall for you, this experience?
So I can't even articulate my thoughts. First of all, it was so sweet. It went so well. So the event was held at Take Care Beauty, which is a salon that focuses on textured curly hair. They're actually a salon and beauty supply store in one, which is a great concept because it was two sisters that created it, and their whole idea was to empower the shopper. Sometimes you might be shopping for products and you don't understand it. So now you have stylists in the store who can advise you. Because as we know, some of the beauty retailers that we have are just, you know, figure it out yourself. The person selling the stuff doesn't actually know about the product. So I love that concept. And so in bringing forward a book that I wanted to really speak to hair care and hair empowerment, I wanted it in a place that brought that same, like I wanted alignment. And so I even had a speaker, an expert in textured hair speak. And so it was really bringing that information about hair. And oh, she delivered. Like when I say everyone was engaged, the amount of questions, I think she went over an hour of talking about hair. She went into locks, coloring, detangling. She did a demo. She did a wash and go on a little girl. Like it was just so great. And people had so many questions for her. And I really want to elevate our community in terms of the resources. So I have like this book is great. It was an idea to come out with a book, but since making the book, I want to create a platform for sharing resources. I want the book to be a vessel for what's in our community to support us to have thriving hair that we can feel confident about. So there was so much intention about the book launch, and it was so great. It was amazing. I think it was magical. That's how I feel.
You look great, by the way. I saw some videos about it. I was really loving that fro you had. I was like, I want a fro that day.
Thank you. Yes, I said I had to wear my natural hair. So yes, I came out with the coils that day.
I think that was a smart move. I mean, look at Naya. She's wearing a, so I think it was a smart move, right?
Exactly.
I'm glad that you were able to have a great time with the book launch. Now, how have you enjoyed this new title of being an author? What have you enjoyed the most? Were you always into writing? Was writing something like a book, something that was sparked by something you did in the past? Like, give us that thought process.
So I have not adjusted to the title. I'm not a person who's like, I don't know, like I'm a behind the scenes type of person. So to like be out there saying I can run author now, it's not my thing. So I haven't adjusted to it. I don't even think I've like, unless like I'm pitching to schools or an organization, I'll put author in my title. But other than that, I don't even think I've put it on my socials or anything yet. I don't know. But it'll come. And but writing is something I absolutely love to do. I work as a policy analyst. So my whole job is writing and research. I love being behind the scenes and telling stories. So that's something I've always enjoyed. I'm actually better writing than a speaker. I feel like I'm a terrible speaker because I don't have time to flesh out my thoughts. So writing is just that opportunity to really think about how you want to deliver your message and say it so that your audience hears it. And I did always think in my 20s I was going to write a book, but I never imagined it would be a children's book. I thought it was going to be like the story of my life. So I'm actually very excited to see how this evolved. And yeah, I'm so excited to see where it goes.
Are there any upcoming projects or initiatives you're working on that you could share with us? Will there be more Naya stories?
Naya is evolving. This is what I say. She's inspiring a coil savvy world. What that means, I haven't decided. She might have a brother who's learning his hair or who's having difficulty in school. She might have a friend with a different ability, and sharing the story of how that intersects with hair and society's views of a person. I don't know. Like I'm thinking about a YouTube series, maybe an animation. So there's so many things I want to do with it, and I haven't quite decided, but she's definitely evolving and she's sharing this message. She wants the world to hear it. So we are definitely coming with more.
Okay. I'm excited to hear about that. So time to wrap it up. But before we do, I did have a fun, lighthearted question for you. I had two fun, lighthearted questions, okay? So, the first one is, if you can have a song based on your hair, what would it be?
Ooh. That's good. You were just singing a song. I think it was Indiari. I am not my...
Okay.
I actually love that one. I love that one. But I think it's a reggae song. Oh, God.
Sing it, girl. Let me see if I can help you.
Natural African Lakumana. I'm impressed. Okay. It just gives me vibes. Like, be your natural self. Did you recognize the song, though?
No. I think I did. And then you stopped. I was like, I think I might know what it
is. I don't know the words.
But if you ever find it, let me know, and I'll put it, I'll incorporate it in here.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
And then the next one would be, if you can say your hair has superpowers, what superpower does it have?
It's bossy.
Okay.
Yeah, it's coming for you. Do not underestimate the power of my coils. It's not my natural coils right now, but yes, my hair is bossy.
I like that. That is good. So those are all the questions I have for you today. I hope you had fun. I hope we were able to have a conversation. Now, before we really wrap up, could you just tell our listeners where to find you and where to find your book?
So I am everywhere on the socials at Naya's Coily World. You can check my website at www.nyascoilyworld. And please check out the book. I would love if you shared it with a young person. I feel like the story would really brighten their day.
And where can they find the book?
www.nyascoilyworld.ca or Amazon. I think now you can Google it and you can find it at any partner now. So
that's amazing.
Indigo, Barnes & Noble, various retailers. Yeah.
Special thanks goes out to Venice for being on today's episode. I think that it was a great discussion to discuss about hair and our hair journey and the complexities of going through it, but ultimately coming at the end of it and really embracing our coils. Now, as she mentioned before, you have to go cop the book, give it as a gift to a young girl, a young boy. Give it to your local library for them to include it into their book inventory. So the name of Venice's book is Anaya Hatton, Let's Get Those Coils Crowned in Satin. Now you can, as she mentioned, find the book on Amazon. You can also find it on her website, which is nayascoilyworld.ca. You know, buy it for somebody and definitely have the conversation about hair. And, you know, maybe this might insight some knowledge or some in-depth look at your own hair as an individual with coils and continue the conversation with others and, you know, have conversations with young children as well so that they can fully embrace their coils. As always, if you enjoyed today's episode, share it, have the conversation with others. Again, don't forget to rate and review, especially if you're listening from Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. And I will catch you guys in the next episode.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.